WOMC.
HD3 Detroit.
KJAQ.
HD3 Seattle.
WBMX.
HD3 Boston. And on AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
Who you gonna call?
Para X Caps with Dave and Tommy Jones on CBS Radio's The New Sky.
248-545 Soul.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Hey, welcome to this very special edition of the Para X Radio Show. This is Dave.
And this is Tom. And everyone listening, this is the UFO extravaganza, if anything.
It certainly is, and we are so thankful to be here with you tonight, and we hope that we have transferred from the first hour where Paul and Ben Eno did a remarkable job by moderating the panel, and of course we want to welcome back Paul and Ben to our show. Welcome back, guys.
No, thank you very much. Ben's taking a break here.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get our panel back.
Yeah, we're working on that, folks. We got a little bit of a problem connecting. That'll happen here in just a little bit. We'll make sure everything works out all right. Just want to mention again, folks, we have a terrific panel that's here tonight talking about the Rendlesham Forest incident. It's been termed the British Roswell incident. And to be honest, Tom and Paul, I think it actually goes beyond Roswell in a lot of respects. Roswell was shaded in a lot of mystery from the beginning. Many of the witnesses that were there at the original thing that happened with Roswell have gone now. And here we are talking to these gentlemen who actually witnessed the incident. Not only that, there is a plethora of data that's out there that was collected. We have an audio tape from Chuck Holt talking about the initial investigation when he went out there with all these folks. And, of course, we have Steve LaPlume is with us. I want to go through this panel very quickly if I can while we're still trying to achieve communications back. First of all, we've got, of course, Bill Burns is with us, who is the editor of UFO Magazine and also the host of History Channel's UFO Hunters. We're glad to have Bill with us. Also, we have Peter Robbins is with us and Larry Warren, who have co-authored a book which was the definitive, I believe, book on the Rendlesham Forest incident, Left at East Gate. And if you get a chance to get that book, certainly do that. As Paul mentioned, if you want to go to Behind the Paranormal's website, they have a link where you can get that book. Also, we have an audio tape from John Burroughs, who couldn't join us live tonight, so we'll try to get that in as soon as we can if we get an opportunity. Also, we have, as I mentioned, Steve LaPlume is with us, who was an eyewitness to the incident that happened out there. So we want to welcome all of those folks to the show tonight, and we're looking forward to a terrific time of sharing what I believe is the definitive UFO incident. And it's very strange, Tom, that here in the United States, we don't hear much about it.
It is. I mean, like you touched on earlier, is that if you mention Roswell, everybody knows about Roswell in the United States. But this incident, they don't. It was just like more of a hush-hush over here, I guess.
Yeah. And of course, you know, one of the things, and it's true about America, it's really true about everyone, I guess, in their own countries, is that, well, if it happened over there, it really doesn't affect us. But what is happening now is that as folks reflect back on some of the things that happened there, and of course, having an opportunity for these folks to tell us about the incident brings it back into the consciousness of all Americans now. So now we're starting to understand just how global this incident is. And we appreciate, of course, Bill Burns being with us tonight. And Bill, we thank you for being here. Bill, how do you what perspective do you put this incident? Am I on track as far as the importance of it possibly being even greater than the Roswell incident?
Well, the fascinating thing about this case is that where Roswell is interesting in American history, and because of the fact that not only what the witnesses said and what Walter Haupt, the public information officer, said in his affidavit, in his deathbed affidavit about the case, but what's fascinating is that even though Roswell was a cover-up after a cover-up of a cover-up, right, the Bentwaters case kind of showed that the United States Air Force was still in the loop on UFO investigations, even though they publicly disclaimed UFO investigations in 1969. So for the MOD, the British Ministry of Defense, to hand off the case to the Americans and say, look, this is your Air Force base, your soldiers, your airmen, and your personnel. Here, you investigate it. It's a hot potato for us. We don't want to touch it. And the Air Force takes Charles Holt's report, and Charles Holt can certainly comment on this better than I can, Charles's report, and all the other data that came from the investigation. And then when you listen to Larry Warren's debriefing stories and how these airmen personnel were treated, it took all of that, and we haven't heard one word since officially from the Air Force. It really tells you more about the case, or at least as much about the case, as it did about Roswell. So that's the importance of that case in terms of American ufological history.
Well, it certainly is, you know, something I want to ask you, Bill, since we have you on here, as we're trying to get the other panelists on, because we appreciate your input into the discussion tonight. As you mentioned, the Britons tried to push it off on the Americans because it's an American thing, you know, American soldiers, even though it's at RAF air bases. Do you feel that maybe that might have been pre-planned, thinking that, all right, since we know that Project Blue Book has been closed, that they would automatically, as they kicked it to the Air Force, it would be buried? Do you think that there was that much planning in place where they were just trying to put this thing under wraps as quickly as possible?
No, I don't think so. I think that when you listen to Nick Pope, and he was on UFO Hunters as well in this episode, when you listen to Nick Pope talk about this, you come to the conclusion that UFOs and UFO cases are hot potatoes. And they're like serial killers. Serial killers are in plain sight, but no police agency wants to admit there's a serial killer because you can't solve the case. Well, it's the same thing with UFOs. They're in plain sight, and nobody wants them. They're hot potatoes. So the British used any excuse they possibly could not to spend one thin dime or one thin tuppence to investigate the case. They gave it to the Americans. The Americans have a standard procedure. Don't ask, don't tell. So basically, they just took it under wraps and said, we're not going to say a thing about it, never responded to Charles Holt, never responded to Larry Warren or anybody else seeking information. Now we have the letter. We actually have the document from the MOD to the United States Air Force. So I would say anybody listening out there can simply take that letter. It's online. You can find it. And file a Freedom of Information request to the Air Force, specifically referencing the letter from the MOD by date, by number, by whatever document number it has, and ask them for any information pursuant to that letter from the MOD and see what you get back from the Air Force.
Okay. And okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom. Pardon me.
Oh, it's Paul. I'm sorry. And I was going to suggest the studio was trying to get the fellows back. We're missing Charles. This is really, really strange. You know, this kind of stuff happens whenever we deal with this. All kinds of odd things begin to happen. Will could tell you some stories. We're trying to get back Colonel Charles Holt, Larry Warren, and Peter Robbins. And let's see if we can do that. But in the meantime, if you fellas you want to play the John Burroughs tape, we can do that. It's up to you.
Did you want to go to some of the questions?
Maybe we should go to some of the questions. It's up to you, fellas. It's your show.
I've got a quick question. This is from CC from California, Bill. Oh, this is for both of you. Are there a British equivalent of the Men in Black in the United Kingdom?
Yes, there are. The Ministry of Defense has its own investigators. Now, when you talk about Men in Black, what you're really talking about are people who go out to do two things: collect evidence and suppress any statements from witnesses, probably for the purposes of national security. The Brits have their own equivalent of Men in Black, except they're probably, I don't know, in turquoise or something. But they have their own equivalent of that. Investigators who say to witnesses, look, thank you for the information and don't say anything else.
Yeah, gotcha. It's interesting because, you know, as you mentioned before, they wanted to push this off. They didn't want to deal with it. Didn't want to spend the funds. Didn't want their hands dirty with it, as it were. But yet they still have this entity within the government to do research on UFOs.
Well, sure they do, because UFOs, I mean, another case, not to detract from this case, But this case is critical because Woodbridge and Bentwaters were also the subject of a big, big 1956 UFO case in which Venom fighters were dispatched to track down and shoot down a couple of UFOs out in the North Sea. So this has happened before in this area. But years after, 13 years later, Bentwaters was the Cosford incident. And again, a UFO, an object, we don't know what it was, over restricted British airspace, clearly a threat to the impunity of that airspace, to the integrity of that airspace. And the British asked the Americans, what planes are you testing? And the Americans said to the British, what planes are you testing?
We got to go to break. I apologize, Bill. We got to go to break. And folks, we'll be right back. This is Para X Radio on New Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Hi, I'm KG Styles. I invite you to experience the soul of healing on Transform and Heal Your Life. I'll share powerful insights and tools to gently guide you on your healing journey. Please come join us, renew yourself, and share the love and healing. Call in for a healing session or energy reading and enjoy my special guests who are among our world's most revered teachers. Visit my website, kgstyles.com, and sign up for my free Health Master e-zine. I look forward to sharing with you every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Big Brother Mike from The Morning X. Don't miss Paravision Radio with your host, Jamie, Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Miss Lucy, the energy magician. Get a reading from me at misslucy.info anytime, except Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be listening to my good friend Ron Reeder right here on para-x.com.
Hey, this is your old buddy Mike from The Morning X. Check out Reflections with Rick Hayes at 1 p.m. on the second and fourth Tuesday every month on the Para-X Radio Network.
I'm Miss Lucy, the energy magician. Get a reading from me at misslucy.info anytime, except Fridays at 12 a.m. Eastern. I'll be listening to my friends Eric and Justin for Night Stalkers Radio right here on para-x.com.
If you listen to only one paranormal show this week, then tune in to CAPS Paranormal Radio. But if you're going to tune in to two shows this week, then tune in to Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. However, if you're going to tune into 25 shows or more this week, then make sure you catch Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Friday nights from 10 till midnight, or watch them live on GTV. Side effects of listening to Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie include painful belly cramps and uncontrollable fits from laughing too hard and the occasional warts. If laughter lasts more than 4 hours, consult your doctor right away. Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Fridays 10 to midnight. It'll either kill you or cure you. Either way, you'll be happy you watched.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
The changes in the world today are moving faster than ever before. And it's good to know there's someone who can help keep it all in perspective. Psychic medium and paranormal life consultant and renowned author, Rick Hayes, can help you get through these tough times. Through prayer, faith, and guidance, Rick Hayes can take you on a path to acknowledge the appreciation of life's gift. Amazing and very real, the best in what he does, states the producers of the highly acclaimed film, The Possessed. Rick Hayes, founder of Life's Gift Incorporated, offers personal as well as group consultations. As a renowned and well-respected speaker, Rick is available to appear at your next event. For more information, go to www.lifesgift.com. Rick Hayes, living life supernaturally.
Acclaimed sound healer, author, and radio host Mark Pattison brings you a weekly inspirational message with your 11-minute miracle, followed by the best medium psychics and best-selling self-help authors. Join us for the best new thought program out there. It's called Dynamic Transformations with Mark Pattison. It's Monday from 9 to 10 Eastern, exclusively on CBS Radio's PsychicOnAir.com, powered by CBS.
Para X Caps with Dave and Tommy Jones on CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. 248-545-SOUL. NewSkyRadio.com.
And welcome back to Caps Paranormal Radio and Behind the Paranormal, dual shows tonight on Psychic Radio powered by CBS, AOL, and Yahoo. And Dave, I have got chat room question after chat room question for these guys.
Yes, indeed. And let me go back that way. We finally restored communication. So I want to, you know, it's
Mothership agreed with us.
Yeah. And, you know, it's great that we have live radio. We love it and we hate it at the same time. But we got all these great folks with us and we appreciate it. Going down the line as best I can here. I appreciate Colonel Charles Halt that's with us, Bill Burns, also Larry Warren and Peter Robbins. Steve LaPlume is with us in the studio. Also, Paul and Ben Eno from Behind the Paranormal. And I hope I mentioned everybody. So welcome, folks, back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Welcome back.
All right. Thank you. Tom.
One of the questions I've got, well, the chat room. Again, if you've got a question and you're listening somewhere else, go to para-x.com, click on live chat. That will throw you into the chat room. You can private chat me a question, and I'll get it to these guys ASAP. One of the questions earlier was, were there any burn marks on the trees or in the grass around the site?
The site I approached with Bruce
That's Colonel Hall we're listening to.
Yes.
I did not see any burn marks anywhere, just rub marks, I guess, on the trees is the best way. I was later told by the Forest Service they were blaze marks, but I'm not really convinced, but that's their story.
Okay. And something else I want to throw in there, too, Colonel, if I could, while we have you here. Not that we're going to lose you again, but tell me, you mentioned that you grabbed a Geiger counter when you went out, when you were called. Is that standard issue to do that whenever you see one of these anomalies?
No. I did not grab a Geiger counter. I got the disaster preparedness NCO, who was a standby guy, to go get an APN-27, which was the standard machine we used at that time, to take along. He was also a professional photographer, and I said, bring your camera, the Geiger counter, we're going to disprove all of this.
Okay, now I got a quick follow-up from the chat room. They were talking about Geiger counters earlier in the chat room. They wanted to know, did anyone determine what radioisotope it was? And if they did pick anything up, could it have been from spacecraft propulsion or from space travel or solar radiation?
All we would do is read alpha, beta, and gamma radiation. I can't tell you anything other than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is for Steve LaPlume. Of course, Steve is an eyewitness to what happened out there. And, of course, Steve, your take on this thing is somewhat different than everyone else's because it was a different time period, as I understand it. Is that correct?
Yeah. I just want to clear that up. I wasn't a witness to the December incident. Mine was about 3 weeks later, four weeks later.
Okay.
And the reason I believe mine's significant is because it shows the demeanor of the people, the officers, when they showed up. They didn't seem like they had any idea or any foreknowledge of UFOs and any involvement, any prior involvement. I mean, they were out there like anybody else, like, wow, let's go see what we see. Am I coming across correctly?
You are. And that's a great thing about this thing, Steve. Of course, this is Steve LaPlume. Steve, one of the things that you said earlier on in the previous hour, which I really loved it, by the way, because it sounds so human, what you said, is that, you know, you thought, man, this is a monumental event. I'm getting to see something that not everybody in the world gets to see. So this was the thought that you were carrying when you were seeing all this, is that you knew this was something that was extraordinary, not a lighthouse blinking at you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and plus, I was looking straight up. My neck was trained backwards, looking up at the bottom of an object. You know, I mean, and I was just in complete awestruck of this craft.
And you felt no threat, you felt no danger to yourself or those around you.
I hit an M16 on my shoulder, and if I felt threatened, I wouldn't use it anymore.
No threat at all.
Yeah. Yeah, we learned not to point those things and shoot them at stuff that flies a long time ago. Tom.
Yes, another chat room question, and we had talked about this earlier as well. Could all the lights that were seen been from a helicopter?
That's a Charles Hall question, right?
I believe it is, yes.
I believe it is.
Yes. Are you still with us, Colonel?
Hello?
Yeah, there you are. There with us, Colonel.
As far as I'm concerned, absolutely not a helicopter. I know what a helicopter looks like. This had no rotors, no sound. I mean, unless they've got completely soundless helicopters, absolutely not. And the thing was, you know, 1,000 feet over my head.
Yeah, good point. Because, you know, one of the things that gets missed on folks, and this is particularly for Colonel Halt and also for Steve and Larry and all those that serve in the military, is that you suddenly just didn't forget all your previous experiences. You know, because you go out here and you see something like this, this is totally extraordinary. And everybody says, oh, I could have, you know, it's some guy playing a prank with a police car. It was a helicopter. It was a lighthouse flipping around out there and illuminating the surrounding area. As if you guys have never seen anything up until this point that has a military connotation to it. And to me, that's what makes this so compelling, what you're telling us tonight, is that you guys know what the natural causes would be, and yet you're saying, I know what folks think it might have been, but based on my own experiences, here's what I saw. Larry, what do you think about that? Have we got Larry?
He might have dropped.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You know, if I can just add, this is Peter.
Sure.
From an investigative point of view, and I wasn't there, but when you get one solid account after another, and there are historic evidences of events like this happening in the area, and then the paper chase reveals documentation supporting the reality of the event, these excuses, which the most recent one was a manure truck that was on fire, would be laughing. They would be funny if they weren't so extraordinarily insulting to the intelligence of these men. The late debunker Phil Klass suggested that some of the men involved, you know, may have been smoking marijuana, and, you know, you see things when you do that. This is a highly secured military situation. We're talking about the commission of a crime, of jeopardizing, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
That kind of response is so cavalier, and the whole lighthouse thing is for me, below contempt.
Sure. And I think one of the reasons why I mentioned this, and Colonel, welcome back with us. And also, Larry, thank you for being back with us. We apologize that it drops in and out. So we will
keep cutting each other off.
Oh, are you? Oh, I'm sorry. But anyway, and this is for Colonel Halt. In your tape that you have, which is a very compelling piece of evidence, if you get a chance to listen to that, folks, it's pretty obvious to me that you guys are not running a script out there. You know, this is something you've happened upon that it has no natural reason for it happening. And you can tell that by your voices. But one of the things that gets thrown out there is that there is a it sounds like a soldier is in the background saying, there it is again. There it is again, talking about the light. And he's doing this every 5 seconds. And some detective or whatever has said, well, that's the natural cycle of the lighthouses. Every 5 seconds, the beam comes back around. And how would you answer somebody who says that to you?
Very simply, we were looking at two objects. The lighthouse is off to the right, and the object is in the field in front of the farmer's house. Now, Bruce England, that's whose voice that is, was probably also looking at the lighthouse. The object in the field was reflecting off the farmer's windows brightly, so much that I was concerned for the occupants of that house. Now, you tell me how a lighthouse 3 or 4 miles out to the coast would reflect off the windows.
Indeed.
It's very simple. I've had a long tirade with Ian Ridpath. You probably have heard of him.
Yes.
Go away with a lighthouse. I'm going to tell him, go buy the lighthouse if you want it. This object moves through the forest horizontally, bobbing up and down vertically and avoiding trees before it receded into the farmer's field. Now, that was no lighthouse. Lighthouses are affixed. That's all I want. I get frustrated when I hear that. I just get tired of it. I've talked to the lighthouse operator. It's shielded. You can see a reflection, but you do not see it directly. But what can I say? A couple of things I need to add before we get cut off again.
Hopefully it won't happen.
Plume saw something. He and Wendell Palmer reported to law enforcement. I told him if they ever see anything again, to call me. And they did. I responded, and I called Gordon Williams, who was the wing commander. He had a staff car and had to drive all the way around. I had a Triumph TR8 convertible, and it fit underneath the pipe gates, and I was able to drive down across the runway, called the tire, cleared for crossing, and went directly out there. And by the time I got there, whatever they saw was gone, and Gordon Williams responded. So Steve LaPlume did see something, according to what he told me he and Wendell Palmer did. There was nobody else present at that time. So
wonderful. And I also, I also want to say you have great taste in automobiles, sir.
I wish I'd kept the car.
Yeah, I wish I had too.
Tom.
Can I throw in an email question
absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, Paul Eno speaking. This is for anyone on the panel. It's from Peter in Columbia, South America. And Peter says, or asks, please share the complete dialogue that occurred between the base personnel and the entities. Question of contact. And also, what was the result of the recent analysis of the symbols on the UFO? That's a question just for anybody on the panel.
Could I just say one thing? Because I got cut off, and I'll shut up. I've had 30
no,
years
go ahead, man.
No, no, man. I've had 30 years of fun with this. I got more experience at the BS factor with all the people that deal with this kind of subject than any of them. So get ready for a ride, boys. And I do, my biggest regret is back in 81 or 82 is that the only place you could go is to the UFO world with this. And, you know, because the public just wasn't grooving on this kind of thing. But Colonel Halt said something. This is only because I was cut off. So I just want to complete this statement. It's very complex events. The soil analysis that we did, I stayed all the way out of that. I have no idea how you do soil analysis and could frankly give a darn. But it was done. It was done through professional people. Scientists, not ufologists, and sorry, but it wasn't. It was, we went outside the bubble for that, and that was Peter's doing, not mine. I was just trying to survive in a marriage at that point. When the colonel mentioned that, I guess, the site in the woods, or I believe there were two sites in the woods, from the first night, and that the forestry people told him that the growth there is normal, and that they may have, I'm sure they've said that to him. But I think that was the same forestry commission that commented on the initial landing sites that involved burrows, Peniston, and Cabana Stack, saying that the triangular indentations were caused by rabbits or chickens burrowing in the night to stay warm. So I would be very suspect anything the British Forestry Commission has to say on just about anything except planting trees. I'll shut up now.
Okay, well, that's burrowing chickens. That's an interesting idea.
That is very interesting.
Chicken.
Yeah, but of course, the issue is contact here. Was there any? Well, just begin to answer Peter's question here. Was there any contact between base personnel and life forms of some kind?
I say yes. I say yes myself, and I do. It's Larry.
It's Larry speaking.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, this thing is hotter than a lot of lights flying around and things like that. There's a big thing here. And then there was a lot of meddling with a lot of young guys serving. And LaPlume out there, my old brother, we didn't know each other at the time, all this stuff. But let me tell you, now, Colonel Holt's running an air base. We were guys just out of high school and under him and working on that base. And that the big crux of this is a lot more than I think certain people can go. And I stood up at the National Press Club many years ago now, raised my hand, said under perjury, threat of perjury, going to prison or whatever they want to do, that I would say what I say. Now, if it is all wrong, then someone has to dispute the people with me as liars or meddled with, I mean, which I think is a factor after the fact, and then basically has to dispute the scientific analysis of the spot in the field. Now, I'm not an expert on any of that, and I'm not saying I'm right on any particular thing. My only desire, it was an unconscious thing, and it took a life of its own because there's a reality to these events, else it would have gone away a long time ago. You definitely don't want a tag on this thing on your head, but it affected a lot of people. And LaPlume can tell you from the guys in the barracks that went through this or the peripheral, there was a lot of strange stuff on that base afterwards. There was a lot of, I used the word spooks, I don't know them. And there was a lot of incorrect stuff going on, and they were doing stuff with us, the people. And it was very, very wrong. And
okay, well, I'm not going to let
that's just my opinion.
All right, well, we got to wrap. I'm going to give it back to Dave. It's his show here, but I'm not going to let this go.
Okay, yeah, you hang on to that, Paul, because I want to hear this as well. And we'll be right back after this break. This is a joint show tonight with the Para-X Radio and also with Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Benino on Para-X Radio, powered by CBS through New Sky Radio.
Psychic Radio. 24 hours a day. Reach out from beyond to your ears. On the web now. Log on to psychiconair.com. Your spiritual well-being is our concern. This is Psychic Radio. Powered online by AOL at psychiconair.com. We know you're listening.
If you're looking for straight talk about the paranormal, then tune in to Paranormal Insight Radio with Ladeen and Melissa every Friday at 7 p.m. The founder of the all-women's team, Paranormal Seekers of North Texas, and Melissa is the tech manager of the team. Paranormal Insight Radio covers all realms of the supernatural and the unexplained. Offering great guests and asking the important questions, Ladeen and Melissa bring a fresh perspective to the world of the paranormal. Their mission is to open the minds of skeptics, to ease the minds of those afraid of the unknown, and provide a forum for real people. Paranormal Insight Radio with Ladeen and Melissa every Friday at 7 p.m. on the Para-X Radio Network. And be sure to check out their website at paranormal-insight.webs.com. Paranormal Insight Radio, straight talk for real people.
If you're tired of fumbling in the dark with a flashlight to read your EMF meter, then the folks at Professional Measurement have the solution for you. Introducing the MEL meter. The MEL 8704 is a precision-made scientific instrument designed especially for the paranormal investigator and enthusiast. This is the only meter that can read both EMF and temperature changes at the same time. An easy-to-read backlight display allows you to monitor and record changes in real time with one hand. And check out the new Pro Navigator with night vision compatible red light source and 30 feet of illumination range. This is the tool you've been waiting for. The MEL meter. Available now at promeasurement.com or by calling 1-888-344-0111. Professional Measurement, your one-stop source for industrial and commercial grade precision EMF meters and instruments.
Who you gonna call?
Para-X Caps with Dave and Tommy Jones on CBS Radio's The New Sky.
248-545-SOUL.
NewSkyRadio.com.
And welcome back to Caps Paranormal and Behind the Paranormal on Psychic Radio, powered by CBS, AOL, and Yahoo. And Dave, I think Bill Burns has a question for the guys.
Yeah, I think also we've got, I think it was Peter, was it Peter and Larry, I think, that were making a statement, and we had to go to break, so I want to go back to that first if we can. So
sure.
If you can complete your thought, okay. We don't want to cut it off on you.
I think I just said what I had to say just on that. I'm sorry. I'm okay.
Yeah, there was going to be a response back to what you were saying, Larry. I don't know if it was by Peter or who it was, and I apologize.
I think Colonel Holt wanted to say something.
Ah, indeed. Okay, there we go.
Okay, may I speak now?
Certainly, you're ready.
Okay. I don't dispute anything Larry says. I do not think Larry was directly involved. Larry was in the background, perhaps. I think Larry was, how shall I say, significantly abused along with several other people. I think they were subjected to hypnosis, sodium pentothal, and perhaps some interaction from something that we don't understand. And I sincerely believe that some of what they think and believe is disinformation designed to make the whole event appear too ridiculous. Now, that being said, something significant did happen, and Larry may have been there. I'm not dispute that he may have been there, but I do know that Peniston and Burroughs are definitely very, very badly confused, have significant mental problems, perhaps physical problems, and I don't know about Ed Kovanasak. So that being said, we can go from there.
All right, sir. And I'd like to follow up with that if I could, because it's a powerful statement that you just made.
I've got radiological issues from exposure to an unshielded nuclear device here. burns to the retinas, two marriages down the drain, which happens in life, a whole bunch, a truckload of weird stuff in the head for the last 30 years. And you know what? I've heard that times just about everyone involved. In fact, and I'm not being hostile here at all. I have a lousy throat tonight. Forgive me. I sound like Satan on the radio. But at the end, I really mean no harm here. And I agree with Colonel Holt and respect Colonel Holt. I'm not trying to dominate anything. And in fact, I'm so thrilled other people can come along and become punching bags for the UFO community and the media at large. And I hope they don't take the crap these people dish out. But at the end of the day, I was recently in Nevada, and it was fascinating to me is that these older people, older than I, approached me. And this woman was the only female POW in the Vietnam War. And the other gentleman was a fighter pilot, and they were very good friends with Gordon Williams, who was our wing commander. And I filled in and did a talk. It wasn't even planned anyway. They sat down and told me a number of things, which I'm not being mysterious. I just won't get into it here because it's secondhand. But it was fascinating to me. And I showed some documents, one being here. And years ago when Charles Holt met with us in Washington, I showed him some of this stuff. I don't remember now, but one of my documents, my approval for discharge, I was not in the military a long time, like these gentlemen, is that it was approved by Gordon Williams. And I asked this gentleman, he actually handled it. And I asked this gentleman on the front row, who has friends with him, and I said, and he was an officer like Colonel Holt and the rest, and they understand the military better than me. And I said, is this correct? Would this happen? And he just shook his head. So that was just one little thing, you know. And I'm with Colonel Holt on the meddling and the things, and I would love to go visit the folks that did things like that. That's all. Shut up.
Oh, no. That's
no,
great.
No, that's great. No, I think Bill Burns had a question for the guys earlier.
Well, my question really was for Colonel Holt, and without naming names, and I know you can't do that, you can't disclose names, but it was true, was it not, that the entire event was witnessed from a WSA tower by a third party from that surveillance tower who basically confirmed exactly the interaction that took place in the forest?
There was a person from the 2164th Comm Squadron who was up there working. In fact, both nights, the first and the third night, because they were having some electronic problems, and he has verified the events as they occurred, I guess is the best way to put it.
So, I mean, what you have is not just the eyewitness testimony, which, as Larry Warren has mentioned, could have been affected by actual events that night or could have been affected by events perpetrated by the military subsequent to the event, but you also have a third party who is not affected verifying this entire thing.
Well, there's another party involved that's very interesting. One of the senior pilots who is a golfing partner, or has been for years with Gordon Williams, was in the air traffic control tower the night I was out there monitoring some things and overheard most of the conversations and witnessed the whole event. Would you believe that?
That's incredible.
That's recently come out. I know who he is, but I'm not going to give you his name.
Oh, no, of course not. But I'm just saying when you look at that, when you look at the fact that you're not talking about simply the witnesses that were there, important because they're firsthand and they interacted, you're talking about people out of the loop who saw this. So that's very powerful evidence as to the veracity of this event.
I've got a lot of problems with some people have really been meddled with so badly that some of the facts have been significantly distorted, I guess is the best way to put it. But there may have been more than two nights. I can't say there weren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would also maybe I know that there is a distinct discrepancy, I guess is the best way to put it, between Beniston and what Burroughs have said about when they came upon the scene, is that Beniston was talking about touching the craft 45 minutes. Hit the deck, it took off through the trees. So the reasons why that there's a divergence of testimony in this regard because of the possibility of meddling with some of the witnesses of the event.
I think there was some meddling both by, how should I say, the powers to be plus some powers we don't understand.
Well, sure. I would agree with Colonel Hall, too, in that when you read Larry Warren's account of the event, what you take away from that is that there was something about the field that was being generated by the object itself that was it's called the Oz effect, that was interfering with the cognitive abilities of people who were witnesses and, again, were affected by it. You slow down, you get disoriented, you lose a sense of the passage of time. And that also affects your ability to remember with any complete accuracy the sequence of events.
I think some of this stuff, and this won't make sense, but maybe the Colonel will. And Peter, I think I've mentioned it to you at one time or another. Mm-hmm. But I think some of this was already in the works when I was still in Texas, and that was in the summer of 80. There was some very strange things, and I know the Colonel's working with Gary Hazeltine, a wonderful researcher over here, a police detective, on this event, and I wish them well with what they're trying to accomplish. But I discussed it with Gary, and you get old and you start looking back and going, that's not making sense to me. But I doubt it ever will. But there is definitely with this meddling and then other things going on. If someone did read our book, they would see that through, and I'm kind of skeptical on regressive hypnosis and all the hoo-hoo that go with that, but I did one with someone I trust, and that was, and Peter was present, with Bud Hopkins. This came out of a very, very clinical situation, not the Sci-Fi Channel kind of a thing, very disturbing, very invasive with people, you know. And but I'm not alone with that, and I think all of us are victims at a certain level here. And I am with the Colonel also that there's something even beyond the spook level of things with this that has pulled the strings, I think, for many, many years.
I agree as well. This is Peter, and after being most familiar with Larry's account, but speaking with other men and. A number of our listeners have seen clips from John Burroughs' sessions with his therapist. I think he's been very courageous to release them, either in lectures with Linda Moulton Howe, who he's been working with, or on her own or on his own. And they show somebody struggling against something that they're very frightened of. There's a factor of shock that enters into any kind of extremely non-standard situation, and I agree with basically everything that's been said here in terms of external influencing with pretty nefarious purposes from very likely us and them across the board with all of the legitimate witnesses in this category. All the more reason to try to help give an opportunity to hear all of the pieces of those puzzles. And, I'm sorry John couldn't join us live tonight, but I really wish him the best in resolving this situation that he keeps hitting up against. And Larry and I were watching part of this, a fragment from this hypnotic regression last September in Liverpool. And it was tremendously disturbing to everybody in the audience, and so much so for Larry that he had to walk out of the room.
Yes.
But, yeah, everybody's been meddled with on a certain level, or the aspects of physiological shock have to be calculated in on top of everything else.
Sure.
Could I just say one thing very quick that the Colonel brought up? Is that maybe the intention with some of the meddling, and I'm not a scientist, doctor, or anything. I don't know. I understand these things can be done. But,
yeah, hang on to that thought, and we'll bring you right back with it. I apologize. We've got to take a break, but we'll bring you
right.
Hang on to it. We appreciate it. Folks, we'll be right back after this break. This is Para-X Radio in cooperation with Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Ben Eno on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. NewSkyRadio.com. Liz Sousa, Psychic in the City.
Join Liz Sousa Friday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Sky. She'll bring you Psychic in the City. It's a show about your world, your spirituality, and your future, delivered with a fun, hip, and modern flavor. Each week, your host, psychic medium Liz Sousa, will bring you informative and interesting guests from all walks of life. On the road broadcasts to haunted locations, discussions on life, love, astrology, dreams, and even free mini readings. Join Liz Sousa for Psychic in the City, Fridays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Sky.
Look up to the sky.
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Reach out. New SkyRadio.com.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, this is Dee Perry, the paranormal rock star from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Para-X Radio.
Hi, I'm Miss Lucy, the energy magician. Get a reading from me at misslucy.info anytime except Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'll be listening to your best broommate, Marla, while she stirs the cauldron for us right here on para-x.com.
Do you sometimes feel like you're standing beside yourself and looking at others with a totally different perspective? Do you wonder why that happens to you? Miss Lucy knows. Tune in Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern to ILN Radio and begin to explore the possibilities exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Ideal Event Management is your top-rated paranormal events organizer. They represent some of the biggest names in the paranormal community. Whether you need help putting together your event, looking for a celebrity, or just want to pump up the excitement, Ideal Event Management can help you. Contact Mark at 413-478-3642 or check out their website at idealeventmanagement.com. You'll be glad you did.
Caps with Dave and Tommy Jones
on CBS Radio's The New Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
248-545-SOUL.
New SkyRadio.com.
And welcome back to Caps Paranormal and Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Ben Eno on Psychic Radio, powered by CBS, AOL, and Yahoo. And Larry, we had to cut you off at break, but we're going to let you go ahead with your question.
Thanks. I was just going to say, and I know that Colonel Hall's position with, you know, some of us were, well, it's not in position, he's right, and I know it, and that we were meddled with at some point or another. And I've always said, I do believe that if, you know, some of us were sent out, you know, it's like the, you know, the thing that got through and try to keep this down. I remember telling friends about this in 81 when I got home, and they're all laughing at me, and I just shut up, you know, and I'm not from a family where this is kind of a subject that was talked about at all, not at all. And I'd say if that was the mission of the human element, the nefarious bunch that did the naughty on us, I'd say it didn't really work, because here we all are, and it's a great step. I can end up being wrong on 90%, but I think we're all victims. I'm definitely one, too, and but I don't think it worked. I mean, we're here, and the more guys are talking about things, the pieces of the puzzle for us even personally comes together, and maybe we go on the ground many, many years from now with a little more peace of mind.
That's yes, all. Indeed. And something I want to mention, too, before we go on, because there was a great statement that was made during break, and I want folks out there to listen very carefully when I say this. This is a human story. And it really is. When you think about all that these gentlemen have gone through because of a happenstance incident that they happen to be in the either the right or the wrong time place at the wrong time, it's a very human story. So please don't let the flying saucers and the little green men and the radiation all that compel you more than the human story with this. So I just wanted to throw that out. Tom, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I've got a question for Peter Roberts.
Can I say something here?
Oh, sure. Sure, go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, this is, like I said, this is Steve LaPlume. I'm sorry, I've got a bit of a bad connection over here when it comes to listening. But, you know, I joined the Air Force for 6 years. I spent less than a year in the Air Force. The reason being I was drummed out of the Air Force for on my own account because, as Larry said, you know, people were messing with us over there. I was tailed and followed, and I confronted two agents, which I believe were some sort of agents, in the All Ranks Club.
I remember that night, dude, in the All Ranks Club.
Right.
Indeed.
And when I confronted them, they left out of the back of the All Ranks Club, got in a dark sedan and took off. And at that point, I said, hey, you know, I'm into something here that I really don't, you know, I felt my life was threatened at that point. So I formulated a plan. The reason I got out of the Air Force was because I took a knife to my stomach and cut it open and faked a suicide attempt. Okay. And I mean, it's pretty out of character for me. Okay. That's why I got out of the Air Force, because I figured that was an easier way out than having to deal with what was going on at the time. So when you're saying that it's a very human event, it's a pretty big understatement. You know, I signed up for 6 years. I wanted this my career.
But now, Steve, what you and Larry have just attested to, and I'm going to kind of respond to Larry when you say, well, what they tried to do didn't work. Steve, what they tried to do got you out of the Air Force. I mean, you did it by your own hand, but that was your way out. And Larry, as you know, this meddling that has taken place has really affected your life in certain kinds of ways. So quite frankly, what I would say is that so anybody looking at records would say, oh, Larry Warren, look at the problems he's had. Oh, Steve, look at the problems he's had. He tried to take his own life. The point is, what they, and we could answer who they is, try to do is marginalize people who report these events, even if these events, as in the case of Larry and Charles Holt and Steve LaPlume, even if these events are right and Jim Peniston are right in your face, they will marginalize you. And so right. When you do tell the story, you're telling it from the point of view of the guy on the street corner who's marginalized, and because if this were not marginalized, you would have this to be a common shared experience and a common understanding that these things are real. It's not, and that's why they've succeeded to this point.
Yeah, I always often wonder when Steve and I were just at a high school then, and we just a brief breeze in the wind, you know, of us being in the Air Force and on that base. You know, like an idiot, I had the last guaranteed country of choice, which was here. And why that is so impacting on us still 30 years later, there's something to be wondered about there. Just that one little brief moment. Very strange.
Yeah. I
have
believe
to chime in.
Plume. I believe
you guys make it sound like everybody's being followed around. Everybody's being persecuted. Everybody was being watched and everybody was being harassed. That wasn't true. You all know that. You both
it wasn't true with you, Colonel, because they couldn't do that to you. They couldn't do that to you, but we were 19-year little monkey boys, airmen, nobodies, and that's an easy, probably an easy target, I guess. I mean, they couldn't mess with you. You had too much swing, you know the system. You could see it coming. We couldn't see it coming. We didn't know. We just didn't know.
Tom, I think you got some questions.
That's just my opinion.
Oh, no problem.
Sure. Right ahead.
Help yourself, Colonel.
Okay. Well, I have to say that your experiences were a bit extraordinary. How shall I put it? The typical person then did not have all those problems. You guys both had a lot of baggage. I'm not disputing that you had problems. I'm not disputing somebody messed with you. But nearly everybody there had led a normal life in the military. The other were problems. And you may have been followed around, but I think you're a bit paranoid.
If I may come in, this
sure.
is Peter. As
go
a professor
ahead,
of mine once said to me, you don't have to be paranoid to know that somebody is following you. Relative to Larry's claims of having his retinas burned and being exposed to a nuclear source, we have those medical records. Also, how can I say... when we met in Washington, in Virginia, across from the Pentagon those years ago, one of the things that you told us was that you were curious about why Larry had claimed that there was interest on the part of the NSA in terms of his experience and not yours, and that a contact at the Pentagon had in fact confirmed that there was NSA interest in Larry. And by September of 1981, all of his service records that he did not leave the Air Force with were transferred to Fort Meade, Maryland, where they still are, even the most innocuous among them. So I don't think this is really a case of, you know, being paranoid or concerned without just cause.
Wow.
Well, I would suggest that anybody that wants to read the book, read the book. Do you know who Larry Fawcett is? Do you know who Sally Rayel is? They've done some research on a lot of the things in the book, and it, very interesting results.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like for them, you know, let's see what it is. I know who Sally Rayel is, and I many years ago, and Larry Fawcett, I was the initial fella I was dealing with, I think, back in 83, and he got your memo out through my information, the Halt memo, through Cause. So I'm familiar with them. I don't know what, and Larry also interviewed some of the other witnesses. I know. I think we have them in the book.
All right, Jim,
some of his transcripts.
And they've gone on record is that you've been meddled with probably significantly, and you cannot be believed. Now, I don't disbelieve you. However, there's some issues there.
Yes,
there's a lot of issues everywhere. I mean, that's my S-wise. But
hold that thought, guys. We got to take a break.
Hold that thought. We got to take a break. I apologize. I would love to let this go on, but we'll start right back with it right at the top of the hour. And also, folks, want to mention that you are free to call at 248-545-7685 if you'd like to call in and talk to this panel. We'd love to get your comments, questions, 248-545-7685, or use the instant feedback form at Sky Radio or Psychic Radio. This is Para-X Radio and Behind the Paranormal on CBS.
From our universe to yours, this is Psychic Radio.
We know you're listening.
Log on to psychiconair.com.
If you listen to only one paranormal show this week, then tune in to CAPS Paranormal Radio. But if you're going to tune in to two shows this week, then tune in to Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. However, if you're going to tune into 25 shows or more this week, then make sure you catch Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Friday nights from 10 till midnight, or watch them live on GTV. Side effects of listening to Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie include painful belly cramps and uncontrollable fits from laughing too hard and the occasional warts. If laughter lasts more than 4 hours, consult your doctor right away. Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Fridays, 10 to midnight. It'll either kill you or cure you. Either way, you'll be happy you watched. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Big Brother Mike from the Morning X. Don't miss Paravision Radio with your host, Jamie, Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Miss Lucy, the energy magician. Get a reading from me at misslucy.info anytime, except Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be listening to my good friend Ron Reeder right here on para-x.com.
Hey, this is your old buddy Mike from the Morning X. Check out Reflections with Rick Hayes at 1 p.m. on the 2nd and 4th Tuesday every month on the Para-X Radio Network.
I'm Miss Lucy, the energy magician. Get a reading from me at misslucy.info anytime, except Fridays at 12 a.m. Eastern. I'll be listening to my friends Eric and Justin for Night Stalkers Radio right here on para-x.com.